loan officers. Join the Mortgage Calculator as an MLO for unlimited mortgage leads and up to 250 BPS compensation.
So welcome, everyone. My name is Kyle Hershey. I am the COO of the Mortgage Calculator, joined here by our President Nick Hershey and our sales manager, Jose Gonzalez. We are a correspondent lender, and every Tuesday and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, we do a new loan officer training topic and do a full breakdown into that training topic. Today, we're going to be talking about how to verify business ownership when we're doing loans, right? So our sales manager, Jose Gonzalez, with 28 years of experience as both a loan officer and a realtor and plenty of experience in non-QM loans and working with investors and verifying business ownership will take us through this. So Jose, if you're ready, let's go ahead and talk about how to verify business ownership when we're originating loans.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us for tonight's training. Self-employed borrowers, definitely a little tricky, right? Takes us out of our comfort zone, right? Especially if we're dealing with some of the more complex entity situations like a trust, in some cases, a C corp. Although with the C corp, it's usually the other way around. With the C corp, it's usually the borrower saying they're not self-employed because they do not own 100% of the company, of the stock of the company, and with the underwriter saying that they are self-employed. But in this case, we're talking about how to verify their business ownership. Okay. So let's jump right into it here. Let me wait for the graphic to come up. All right, so here we have our title, How to Verify Business Ownership. It's ironic where I'm helping an MLO and the company today verify this exact scenario, and they're facing one of the challenges that I am highlighting in this presentation. So let's jump right into it. So what are the challenges that are faced when verifying self-employed borrower business ownership? Well, underwriting guidelines will always require verifying the borrower's ownership of a business and will also require that the percentage of ownership be clearly defined, as the borrower needs to own at least 25% of the business to be considered self-employed and to be able to use the business income. If that 25% or greater percentage of ownership is not clearly defined, they're not going to get the ownership. Plus, also note that they're going to only get their proportionate share of the business when you are calculating the income, but that is a lesson for another day. Now, what are some of the challenges that are faced when trying to verify the borrower's percentage of ownership? Well, one of them could be that the borrower is a sole proprietor, meaning so there are no formal ownership documents like an operating agreement, articles of formation, and so forth. The operating agreement is less than 2 years old. It's another situation. That's a situation we just had come up with the MLO that I'm helping out. With the deal that he has right now is that the operating agreement the borrower provided is like 20 months old, 4 months shy of being 2 years old. Or we could have a borrower that does not have an operating agreement, or, which I didn't put here in the bullet points, we could have a borrower that doesn't have an accountant, or a CPA, or a tax preparer that they're using because they self-prepare their tax returns, file them themselves, no tax preparer to help with any letters. So that's another that challenge occurs more often than not, especially when we're doing non-full doc loans. Usually they're coming to us because they don't have tax returns for the last year or two. They may not have an accountant or tax preparer or CPA for the last year or two. They haven't gotten around to it. So again, That is a challenge that we've had to confront and overcome. So luckily, there are multiple ways that we can verify the borrower's self-employment status and their percentage of ownership. The easiest way would be with a Schedule K-1, right? Schedule K-1 has your percentage of ownership, the name of the business. However, that's not always possible on a non-full doc loan, right? Or it could, you know, present a challenge if you have a non-full doc loan and now you're presenting a Schedule K-1 that has income. Another way to verify self-employment and ownership percentage is by the articles of formation or incorporation, depending on the type of entity, supplemented with an operating agreement, because the articles of formation and incorporation do not list the borrower's percentage of ownership of the entity. It could be verified with a letter from the tax preparer / accountant / CPA, or it could be verified by a review of the trust document if the business is being held in a trust. So let's break them down a little bit more here. The first example I gave was verification of business ownership with a K-1. And here you see a sample K-1. This one happens to be for an 1120S, right? Depending on what the K-1 is for, they do have some differences. This one here is pretty easy. Now, again, like I just stated, presenting a K-1 may be an issue for a non-full doc loan where tax returns are not being used nor provided. I mean, or if the borrower doesn't have any type of an entity that would be issuing a K-1. So here you will note that the entity name is in box A, part one, box A. I mean, maybe you can't read it. It could be a little small on your screen. But that's going to have actually, box B. Box A is the employer identification number. Box B is the corporate name. And then you have box G, which is the current year allocation percentage. That's basically their percentage of ownership in the entity, whether they're 25, 35, 45, 100%, whatever it may be. That's going to be clearly displayed on the K-1 and easily, very easy to document with this. So this would be the easiest, definitely for a full doc. But if you're not doing a full doc loan, I would probably not provide a K-1. I would probably go with one of the alternative methods to verify their percentage of ownership in the business that we're going to cover next. Now, the easiest one, obviously easy only if the borrower actually has a quote-unquote CPA that they're using. And again, it's really important to note here which is the reason why I have CPA in quotation marks, because in many cases, the guidelines really do not call for an actual licensed CPA. They just use the phrase CPA interchangeably with accountant or a tax preparer with a PTIN number, which is a registration number with the IRS. So you should look in the guidelines of the option that you're using to confirm if they actually require a true CPA, or if it can be an accountant, or if it can be a tax preparer with a PTIN. In the case that we had today, the borrower doesn't have any of the three, so they're trying to figure alternative methods. So here I have a sample letter, right, of what needs to be put on there, and note that this letter must be on the letterhead of the individual that's providing it, whether it's be, again, tax preparer, CPA, or accountant, and they got to have actual letterhead, you know, with all the necessary identifying information. And if they are an accountant or a CPA, provide a copy of their license. If they are have a PTIN, then, you know, make sure you get that number so you can verify it with the IRS or however or whatever state and entity can verify that that individual is actually a tax preparer with a PTIN. That's pretty easy to verify, and most states have websites set up for that, and the IRS does have a website for that as well. Now, the letter, it's pretty basic, but you know, has to provide certain required information. It should provide, obviously, the main point of this is the buyer's percentage of ownership in the business. It should also state how long the borrower has owned the business. And to further aid your deal closing, as you saw from yesterday's lesson that was for the verbal verification of employment, that letter should also state if the business is still active. Very important, like we covered when we're talking about these letters from the tax preparer yesterday, the letter needs to be dated within the time frame stated in the loan approval. You know, so you probably don't want a letter from like 6 months ago, because what if things have changed? So it should be a recent letter. Now, this is the best and easiest way to verify employment when the borrower is not operating under an entity. So the letter from the CPA can, you know, help with the challenges, you know, not just to verify the information, but to verify the information when you're faced with the challenge that the borrower isn't incorporated or doesn't have an LLC, right? They're possibly operating as a sole proprietor. So, you know, this is a way to do it, because they're also not going to be able to provide any kind of operating agreement or anything else. Now, however, if they don't have any kind of a tax preparer, CPA, or accountant that can assist, then you know what? They can find one. You know, it's not that hard to go and provide the tax returns that you have, or, you know, if they have a K-1, or just discuss with the accountant what their situation is, provide whatever documentation the accountant needs to feel comfortable with then issuing the letter. Now, obviously, there's going to be a cost for that letter, but that's the cost of doing business. Now, the next and probably the second easiest way to verify the ownership, or I mean, then again, I would probably say the easiest if they have the operating agreement. That's always a challenge. Is verification of business ownership with an operating agreement. Now, the documents that are required along with the operating agreement, because you're not just going to provide an operating agreement, they're going to ask you for all of the corporate documents that are pertinent to that type of business entity. So, for example, if they're a corporation, whether it's a C-Corp or an S-Corp, if it's a C-Corp, it's only if they're 100% owner of the stock of the business is the only time that you could actually say that they would be considered self-employed. So if it's a corporation or an S-Corp, you're going to have to provide the articles of incorporation. But take note, the articles of incorporation do not break down the percentage of ownership. If it's an LLC entity, the articles of formation or organization, whatever they may be called in the state where the property was formed, will be required, but again, they will not break down the percentage of ownership in the business, but they are required documents. The EIN letter that the business receives from the IRS is a requirement, also one of the corporate documents that you have to provide to vet the business, as well as the certificate of good status. That document is available from the corporate website. Usually you can download it instantly after paying them a nominal fee. In Florida, I think it's like $8, the fee that they require for that. Now, the document that will break down the percentage of ownership is the operating agreement. Now, I have a sample first page there of an operating agreement for an LLC. So as you go through the agreement, you'll find a section of the agreement that states who are the members of the LLC and what is each member's proportionate share in the LLC, and make sure that the operating agreement is signed. Now, one of the challenges that you may face is that if the operating agreement is less than 2 years old, 24 months, the guidelines for the option that you've selected may require additional verification of the borrower's ownership, percentage of ownership in the business, going back at least 2 years. Now, again, that's a case-by-case situation, depending on the guidelines of whatever option has been selected. But that was actually the obstacle that our MLO is facing in his one loan that we were giving him some assistance with, that the operating agreement that was presented was less than 2 years old. The underwriter's asking for a CPA letter to verify the percentage of ownership, and the borrower doesn't have a CPA. So, trying to figure that one out. They're trying to get an exception or get the CPA letter. So be on the lookout for that when reviewing your guidelines. Now, the last example that we have here is the least common form of ownership verification is verification of business ownership with the trust document. Now, some businesses are held in a trust, so there will be some type of a trust document in the same way that there's going to be an operating agreement or articles of formation, right? Now, one thing that is essential with trusts in general is that they're very tricky. Not every type of trust is accepted, right? So you have to definitely make sure that if a trust is the entity that is being used to hold the business, make sure that you get that entity reviewed as soon as possible in the process to ensure that underwriting does not have any issue with that trust, because a lot of times these trusts throw in some fancy clauses in there that, you know, may conflict with the loan terms or, you know, what is possible and not possible with a loan. So just make sure that that trust, that those entity documents for the trust are reviewed as soon as possible. And also make sure that the ownership percentage is clearly defined in the document. Like with any document that you turn in, right, to try to satisfy a condition, please review the document thoroughly to make sure that there's nothing in that document that's going to disqualify your loan, or to make sure that the data that you're actually looking for, like in this case, the percentage of ownership in the trust by the borrower is present and it meets the minimum requirements for the loan that you are trying to close. Otherwise, you'll be unpleasantly surprised by underwriting with a condition, and then you'll probably, you know, bang yourself on the head and say, like, man, why didn't I see that? And then it may be too late to remedy the situation. So like with every document that you're going to submit to underwriting to meet a condition, review the document first, make sure that it satisfies the condition, review it with your processor or your mentor or anybody who you need to review it with, if you don't understand it, to make sure that everybody's on the same page. So again, these are four different ways that we identify that you can clear this condition of verifying the borrower's ownership percentage in a business for your self-employed borrower.
All right. Looks like we actually have a couple questions here. So, Nick, if you want to pull up the questions, we can go through those. So the first question is, operating agreements can be downloaded and backdated to same date as LLC docs, correct?
No, not correct. Absolutely not. There's two parts of the answer. The first one is, no, operating agreements can't be downloaded because they are not a document that is filed. An operating agreement is an internal document, right? And the second part, no, you really can't backdate any document. So if it has a date on it, that's the date, right? If they, you know, give it to you with the date, that's the date. Now they may do a new operating agreement, but then you could be opening yourselves up to another can of worms there because of the date factor. So these are all things that have to be reviewed carefully before the file, if you have those documents in hand, before the file is submitted to underwriting, so you can let the borrower know what the issues are so that they can resolve them before it becomes an underwriting condition.
So, yeah, I think there's kind of a part two to the question there, or the clarity of what she was meaning there, saying, I mean, if other LLC doc exists, with an operating agreement, they can get blank ones online.
Yep. You definitely can download operating agreement templates for free. I have, I provide the link all the time to borrowers who can't figure out, oh, I don't have an operating agreement. I didn't do that when I started my company. So I send them the link where they can go and they can download a blank agreement and they can complete it. They can sign it and they can provide it, and then everything's good to go. But keep in mind that you may be asked for additional verification of an operating agreement if things don't make sense, or like the one that we had where then they're going to ask you for a letter from the accountant, or possibly if it's a full doc loan, they're going to have the K-1s right there. That's going to break down the percentage of ownership. And then if there's a discrepancy between the percentage of ownership in the K-1 and the percentage of ownership in the operating agreement, then, you're going to have to provide additional documentation there to clear that up.
All right. The next question here is, would an exception be that if an entity is less than 2 years old, but client was same operating field and situation, be okay?
Yeah. I mean, we've had that happens many times. They change the name, they change the business. The main thing there, like was noted in the question there, for example, I had one, it was a bank statement loan. The borrower was originally operating in, I think it was New Jersey, and they had an operating agreement for New Jersey LLC. And then they moved their business to Florida, and they then created another entity for Florida and had another operating agreement for the same business, because the business that they run is they are automobile brokers. Right. So that business, they don't really store any vehicles. They're the middleman in the deal. They have a buyer. They go to the through the wholesale route, secure the vehicle and provide the vehicle to the buyer. So the new entity was less than 2 years old. So I had to provide the prior entity operating agreement, the current entity operating agreement. And then I tied it all in together with a processor cert confirming that both businesses are the same business type, right? They just switched states because they switched locations. They moved and they wanted to be incorporated. They wanted their entity to be operating out of Florida and not out of New Jersey.
All right. That is the last question that I see there. Appreciate the questions. Thank you for the training there, Jose. And remember, everybody, we do this every Tuesday and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern time, where we go through a new loan officer training topic. So we'll be back next week with some new topics. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jose. We'll see you all next week, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the next episode of the Loan Officer Training with the Mortgage Calculator. Have a great night, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great evening.
Loan officers, join the Mortgage Calculator as an MLO for unlimited mortgage leads and up to 250 BPS compensation.